100. Then a third place would be Philippians 4. Okay, Leviticus. Leviticus in the Old Testament is like the religious handbook for the Old Testament priest. In the New Testament, the handbook for pastors is 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. You can see the first four letters of Leviticus, Levi, or Levi, as they would say it. Okay, and that's the tribe of Levi. Okay, verse 12. It says, if he offer it, or verse 11, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers, anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cakes he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul shall eat of it, and or the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. Now, ain't that a blessing? Read all that stuff. What a drag, huh? Okay, well, that's Old Testament stuff. Okay, but that's something about a peace offering and a thanksgiving offering. Now, if you would look at Psalms 100, maybe some have this memorized. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Okay, Philippians 4 in the New Testament. Somehow we're going to try to get all these put together. Okay, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us understand these passages. I pray you'd help us understand having a heart of gratitude, and mostly more than anything, expressing this gratitude towards thee, who is deserving. I pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, three passages. Old Testament, Leviticus 7. Doesn't seem to have much to do with us today. Doctrinally, it doesn't, but spiritually, it does. And so basically there, I wanted to show you that's the first occurrence of the word thanksgiving in the Bible. And not only that, but notice what it's associated with. It's associated with what's called a sacrifice or a peace offering. Okay, that's Leviticus. Okay, obviously Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. I think this is the most spiritual holiday of any, Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving is the most difficult holiday to commercialize. Valentine's is obvious. You can sell a bunch of cards. 4th of July, sell the fireworks. Halloween, that's a no-brainer. Sell all of what you want. Skip Thanksgiving, they go right into Christmas. Thanksgiving's a tough one to commercialize. And that's one reason why the world says so little about Thanksgiving Day. Not only that, Thanksgiving Day is probably the most difficult for atheist, cultist, deist, humanist, evolutionist, and socialist to claim. They can't do anything with Thanksgiving Day. What can evolutionists do with Thanksgiving Day? Thank an amoeba? Thank a frog? You know, there's nothing can be done there. Okay, and so Thanksgiving Day is a spiritual holiday, a spiritual day. And the reason why it's spiritual is because who's the one that should be the recipient of our gratitude? It's obvious. It's God. That's why the world doesn't want to mention that. It brings God in mind. Okay, and if the world does mention it, they want to try to put you in a guilt trip and try to somehow get your eyes off of God. And in Psalms 100, if you would, notice in there are several words that will be used to demonstrate a heart of gratitude. Okay? A joyful noise, verse 1. Gladness, verse 2. Singing, verse 2. Verse 4, thanksgiving, verse 4. Praise, verse 4. Thankful, verse 4. Bless his name. Verse 5, showing that God is good, the Lord is good. That psalm is a heart of gratitude. And the heart of gratitude is manifested there and obviously in many other psalms. But I want to give you some thoughts about gratitude this morning or the sin of ingratitude, which Americans are infested with. Okay, the first one is a thankful heart is a peaceful heart. Philippians 4, we read that already. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care. Okay, be careful for nothing. Be full of care. That's being worrying about things like that. Okay, and so the idea is that when your heart is grateful about things, it comes from a heart that has peace. It's the peace of God over there in Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. That's having peace like God. The peace of God is God in heaven. He's not worried about the economy. He's not worried that those guys raided the Secret Service and the FBI raided those guys in southern Indiana and stole all their gold and silver. Unjustly. God's not worried about that. God's not worried about it if Hillary became president. He's not worried about that. We was coming in and a guy had on the back of his truck, Bill and Hillary. Some are calling dumb and dumber. I thought that was pretty good. But the idea is that God's not worried about stuff. He's not in heaven like a deist thinks that God created a world and then threw his hands up in disgust and says, I can't handle these people. He's not worried about stuff. But, you know, Americans, you know, they're so up and down. But you see, a thankful heart is a peaceful heart. In other words, you should have the peace of God. Okay, if you would, look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Now, granted, you're going to have emotions. Your emotions are going to, fly at times. But what's going to stabilize us is the peace of God. And, of course, the peace of God comes when you dwell on Him. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This is trusting God, trusting the Lord in all areas of life. Isaiah wrote, Thou wilt keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, it's easy to allow our mind to wander about things, but a person whose mind is stayed on God will have peace come in their hearts. An example in the Bible is in Daniel 2, where Daniel, if you remember the story, Daniel was taken captive as a young man, a teenager, ripped from his family, made a eunuch, okay, and taken away from Israel and Judah and all that stuff from his family. And then he was put in an indoctrination program where they tried brainwashing him for 3 years so he could become a Babylonian leader under the mindset of Babylon. And in Daniel chapter 2, the guy who is responsible for all this heartache in Daniel's life had a dream. And it messed up, you know, it bothered him, caused him a lot of stress, so to the point where he said, man, let's just kill all these wise men. And so then Daniel got involved in this thing and asked God for the answer, and it said that he thanked God. Okay, now if somebody's responsible for all that heartache in your life, would you want to help them out? Daniel had the peace of God. Daniel was focusing upon the Lord. Now, this idea of what Daniel had in the Old Testament, we pull into the New Testament. If you would, look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this idea of gratitude. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, it's the same idea as far as the political leaders of a country. 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Men in the Bible can refer to mankind, so it can include females. For kings. Now, there's your political leaders. And for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The idea is that no matter who gets to the top or the rung of the ladder, God's still in control. Okay? Whether it's somebody you like or somebody you dislike. Okay, and the problem when sometimes when a person gets involved in a political process, and a Christian should, the problem is that if you don't get what you want, you know, you go ballistic and blame God. No, he's in control. He's in control. Okay, he knows what he's doing. He gives a society the kind of leadership it deserves. And so even at that, basically, a thankful heart is a peaceful heart. If you go back to Leviticus 7, if you run some of the typology, if you remember what we read, Leviticus 7, you had a peace offering, and it was an offering of thanksgiving, and it was something that was given voluntarily. When you go back to Leviticus in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, up to 7, under the Old Testament, they had a literal sacrifice that they could take down to the Jewish temple. Chapter 1 was a burnt offering sacrifice. That is a picture of salvation in Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 was a meal offering, or it's sometimes called a meat offering. That dealt with a fine flour, and that is the most important thing that a believer in Jesus Christ needs after salvation, and that's a perfect Bible, unleavened Bible, unleavened bread. That was an offering. The next one was a peace offering, how to have the peace of God. The next one was a sin offering, and the next one was a trespass offering. The sin offering were sins that we committed against God. The trespass offering was any of our sins that affected somebody else. There are some sins that, you know, kind of sort of affect you and you only, like, but yet it can spread out. You know, that's kind of a thing. It can affect you, sins of the mind, sins of the heart, okay, but sins like theft or murder, that's trespassing in somebody's life. Okay, so you had those five offerings there. The third one is a peace offering, and that was a thanksgiving offering. If you look at that, it talks about unleavened cakes. That's a picture of a perfect Bible mingled with oil. That's a picture of the Holy Ghost. So the idea is that at the moment you got born again, okay, if you're born again, at the moment you got born again, you had peace with God. Okay, but you still don't have the peace of God. Peace like God. That is something that slowly comes to a believer the more they put their faith and trust in God, not just for their soul, but for their life. Okay, and so this shows a thankful heart is a peaceful heart. It gives a peace there. Okay, if you would look in Hebrews chapter 13. Now, this sacrifice in the Old Testament was a literal sacrifice that a person went down to a Jewish temple because they lived under Judaism and it lived under a literal kingdom. In the New Testament, you know, you and I can't, you know, well, maybe you can come to church and try to bring a lamb and ask me to sacrifice it. I might take it home, you know, eat it later. But, I mean, it's not going to do anything. In the New Testament, these things are spiritualized. In Hebrews 13, it shows the spiritualized of that sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hebrews 13, 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Don't forget to communicate. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, there's that literal one in the Old Testament you can pull in the New Testament by your mouth, by your heart of gratitude. This is a sacrifice of praise. And it's, of course, it's easy to be, hopefully, appreciative of the good things in life. Okay, it's easy to say, hopefully, this society, it's not that way. But it's easy to say thank you about the wonderful things, okay, but what about the raunchy things? That's where it becomes a sacrifice of praise, because a sacrifice is something that costs you. Thank you, Lord, for the flat tire. You know, that's nothing. Okay? It's being grateful for the dire circumstances of life. Okay, now example. This is demonstrated by a fellow several years ago. If you would look in Jonah chapter 2. Now, Jonah was obviously down in the mouth here. And Jonah obviously couldn't get out of his situation at that time of his own accord. He couldn't go someplace and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I don't think that whale swallowed a lamb. That's the only thing he could do. And if he did, you know, try to offer it as a sacrifice, I'm sure it would get kind of smoky in there, okay? And it looked like the whale would be, you know, puffing on a cigar. And so that obviously didn't work. So what he had to do is he had to spiritualize that thing in Jonah 2, verse 9. And it says that, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. Is he talking about waiting until he gets out of there? Thankful for what? For being swallowed by a whale. Now, I don't think you've had it that bad. You know, that's a pretty bad situation. But that's where it becomes a real sacrifice, where, could Americans back in the 1930s thank God for the Great Depression? Even though that was orchestrated by the bankers, there are good things that happened to the Christians. You see? And so a sacrifice of praise is something that a person can be thankful for even in the bad times. Okay, so here's thankfulness is a result of thoughtfulness. You have to think. Two of the songs we sang already, Count Your Blessings. In order to do that, you got to stop and think and start counting them. The second song, another song we sang was Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. In other words, you got to stop and think. In Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known of God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding should keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The next verse says, finally, brethren, whatsoever. And it gives a list and says, think. Think. Americans are not taught to think. Americans are taught in the schools to take in information. Don't think. Okay, if you're in science class and a teacher says you evolved, from a monkey or whatnot, if you thought about that and you start asking questions, they would be very upset with you. I forget who said it, but one of these top dog scientist type guys, and he said, and he admitted, he said something like, we know scientifically that evolution's got major problems. We obviously know that scientifically. But what's the alternative? The alternative is creation. And his answer was to that was, that's unthinkable. So that's unthinkable. So we can't have that, because then that would make him lose his whole profession. And so we're not taught to think. The idea is you got to think about things. And so thankfulness is a result of thoughtfulness. Jesus, or the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 2, he says, forget not his benefits. Don't forget God's benefits. I would suggest on Thanksgiving Day, maybe in the morning sometime, get alone, get a piece of paper out, and start writing some thoughts and start appreciating some things. Start realizing that when other people sacrifice for you, they are giving you the most precious thing that they have, their time. We just take people's time so flippantly. Okay? Time is a commodity that God cannot even give you. God's an eternal being. What's he got to worry about time? You and I are crushed in, we are squeezed into this time factor. And when somebody gives you of their time, if they do something for you an hour, that is an hour that's lost in their life that they could have been doing for themselves. Okay? And so that commodity called time, we ought to appreciate what people do for us. Okay? Sometimes people say, well, would you pick such and such up for me? You're good in the area, which is fine, no problem. But and realize the time. A lot of times I think about, church starts down in Rensselaer at 8:15, or, the church time 9 o'clock. Sometimes when I'm getting dressed, at our house, and I only got to drive 3 minutes to church, I think about the family, the Venegonis, who are probably crawling in their car about 7:15 and driving clear over. I think about Bill Day. Bill Day lives 3 hours from us. And, I wouldn't be surprised he shows up again tonight. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that one year we had the Revelation play, he showed up on Friday and Saturday and Sunday and drove 2 hours each time. Maybe he won't, but I think about that time he invested. And there's been, he was coming here on, and of course, with his strokes that he had, he can't be doing this stuff. But he was showing up here on Sundays and Thursdays, putting 5 hours at least on the road to listen to me for 45 minutes, that puts a lot of pressure on me, it feels like. Why? Because of time. Now I realize, I understand that he's doing it for God. I understand that. But there's something there. In other words, we need to express our gratitude towards others. If somebody buys you something, you say, well, they just went and bought it. Yeah, but that money, currency, is time wrapped in a sack. Okay, and the thing is, think about that. A lot of times we see, my mother-in-law makes quilts, and I know what the time that goes into that stuff. People see this blanket, it's, $700, $1,000. Oh, why would I pay that much? You know how much time it put into that thing? You see, and the thing is sit down and think of what others have done for us. You see, and a lot of times people just don't think about these things. If you would look in Genesis chapter 40, there's a story back there. Joseph is in jail unjustly. I think your brothers and sisters are bad. Look at his. Okay, Joseph is sitting in a pokey unjustly, and evidently he had some character about him where he was in jail, and, he didn't walk back and forth like I've seen these guys do and just mad and want to punch everybody out. Joseph, evidently,'s attitude was an attitude where they could trust him to be a trustee. So here he is, a trustee of a jail. He's in jail for no reason. And a couple of fellas have dreams. Okay, so he gives them the answer to their dreams, Genesis 40, verse 12. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me. Think on me. When it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Thankfulness is a result of thoughtfulness. Now, what happened? The typical thing happened. Joseph did a good turn to this fella. When he got out, he said, hey, think about me. Try to help me get out of this. The guy gets out, and like everybody else, forgot about it. Forgot about this guy. I don't know how long, it doesn't say. A year or two goes by. Some time went by, and Pharaoh has a dream. And that jarred a memory bank on the butler. Okay, in Genesis 41, that button has been pushed. The Spirit of God pushed that button on his memory bank. In Genesis 41, verse 9, it says, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. He remembered that he forgot about Joseph. Okay, and then Joseph, of course, got out of the situation. So a lot of times you're going to have to realize when you do something for somebody else, you know, and there's no gratitude expressed, hey, that's kind of standard, especially in this country. Okay, why is that? It's because ingratitude is a result of thoughtlessness and selfishness. If you were to look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, here would be a good commentary of today's society in America. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Ingratitude is a result of thoughtlessness and selfishness. It's a person who basically says, what have you done for me lately? 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves. So these men are going to be unthankful towards their wife, towards anything going on. You can gripe about everything. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You see, that ingratitude is a result of selfishness. Now, back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when God told the Jews, you're going to go into the land of Canaan, you're going to get in there, and you're going to get all this wealth, you know, you got all this stuff going on, and he says, when you get this prosperity, three times he told them in Deuteronomy 8, he said, three times, he said, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me when you get prosperous. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, 14, and 19. Three times he said, don't forget me. You know what America's problem is? They've forgotten God. The reason why this country is prosperous is because at the beginning of this country started as a Christian nation. It's a heathen nation today. America's forgotten God. In Psalms 9, verse 17, it says, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Now, I don't relish that. I don't like that idea. But obviously, you can see that sodomy is gay, our accepted lifestyle today. You know, one of the first steps down that road is a heart of ingratitude. If you would look at Romans chapter 1, when we know that when the Bible teaches about the sin of sodomy, there's an interesting passage in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 16:49. It talks about the sin of Sodom. Now, anybody in this room knows the sin of Sodom would be homosexuals. Well, in Ezekiel 16:49, the sin of Sodom was pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, and they did not help out the poor. The sexual part wasn't even mentioned. That is a byproduct of something that's been going on for several years. In Romans chapter 1, you see the list down that road, Romans 1. And if you just run your eyes down, you see Romans 1, verse 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. There's the Sodomite acts. But if you back up and find out what was the path down there, look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now, am I saying if you have a heart of ungratitude, you're going to end up being a queer someday? I'm not saying that. But I am saying the first step down is not glorifying God. The second is no gratitude. And that's what's going down that road, is that because they're so self-centered, they think people owe them the living. They're a bunch of pigs at a trough, like Americans at the trough of Uncle Sap. You see, is what they are. In fact, they even call this stuff entitlements, like you're entitled to it. So they approve of government stealing money from productive people, giving it to non-productive people. And there's a heart of ingratitude. You see, they scream about their rights. What they want is preferential treatment. They're just a bunch of pigs at a trough, and that's Americans. They're pigs at a trough, think they're going to get it from the government situation. And here's the problem. The problem that wealthy people have is their children are given and given, and they're giving their kids, and they're giving their kids, and giving their kids. But you see, most people do not value something that didn't cost them anything. Mike Roberts, when he's in Vietnam, you know, where do you draw the line on this? He doesn't want to give the Bibles to the Vietnamese because their culture is that if you don't pay for something, you're not going to appreciate it. So he charges them something. As poor as those people are, he does charge them something. And I'm not saying it's wrong to give something to somebody. It's where's the line you got to draw? It's a tough thing to figure out. You know, a parent has to teach your children to earn their own keep, pay their own way. But yet that a parent wants to give to your children. And there's a fine line in there. You see, people usually value a commodity based upon their personal cost to that commodity. And if it didn't cost them anything, they just throw it away. If they had to save and save and save, I'll give you an example, you know, don't feel bad if you've got this. If you got a car payment, don't feel bad about it, okay? I've never had a car payment. I don't buy a car on payments. I don't encourage that because it's a depreciating item, okay? A house is different. And so if you don't got the money, pay cash for something. But who's going to do that for a car? So I encourage Heidi to update, you know, to a diesel. When we drove down to Tennessee to buy this thing, you know, she had her little plastic thing and whipped out the cash. And the guy's looking at it like this. And how many people go into a thing with like, I don't know if we had $8,000. No, we gave some down payment. But there was like, how many $1,000 cash did you have there, Hyde? Was it eight? Okay. So, you know, count the stuff out in front of this guy, and he's just kind of going like this, and he has two little kids in the room. And he said, hey, you kids, come over, look at this. How long did it take her to save that? I said, oh, quite a while. And it had some change, and she didn't have any change. And I said, you know, go out to the car, get the change. He said, don't worry about the change. Well, and I said, well, she's already left. And then we're talking, and he's saying, so I know you're trying to teach her a lesson. I said, yeah, she's going to pay her way. But the thing is, he said, boy, that he respected that greatly. Why? Because she's going to value it more than if somebody just paid for it. You see, of course, granted in there, you know, my philosophy is for the girls, you know, if they're going to go on a mission trip, you know, I'll pay half their way. The guys, they got to pay their own way. Why? Because they can work a little bit more. Okay, but still the idea is that most people value a commodity based upon their personal cost to it. If it doesn't cost them anything, they're not going to value it much. Now, of course, there's another thing about that is thoughtful people learn to appreciate the cost of others. In other words, you got to sit down and think. Why is it that the average Christian in America is a big joke. Their salvation didn't cost them anything. Their salvation cost them absolutely nothing. It cost their Savior everything. And so here they have the benefit. The problem with eternal security is that the ungrateful people can take advantage of it. You see? And so the thing is the only way you learn to appreciate the cost of others, if you've been given a gift, sit down and think about the cost it cost them. And they were so merciful and gracious that they gave you something that cost them a bunch of things. Thoughtfulness. Thoughtful people appreciate the cost of others. People who don't think much walk in, see the play last night, walk out and say, "Oh man, that was cool, man." People who think realize, boy, there had to be hours and hours and hours of practice in there. And they walk away possibly more so, you know, yeah, think about the play and what the message they're trying to get across, but think about all that took to put that together. You see, thoughtful people, people who think, appreciate the cost that other people put into something. So young people, when they want to get peeved at their parents, they need to sit down and think about what their parents have done for them. You say, "I got raunchy parents." Well, they gave you life. If that's all they've given you, that's pretty good. You say, "They treated me bad." Well, they still gave you life. Sit down and think about the cost of others, what people have done for you personally, as a friend, as a family, your husband and wife, what each other do for each other, what parents do for their children, what grandparents do for their grandchildren. The only way you're going to learn to appreciate these things, have a heart of gratitude, is to sit down and think about it. Think about it when you do something for somebody else and they express no gratitude back. How do you feel? You know, if I open the door for somebody at a store, of course, nowadays they're almost all automatic, but if I open a door for somebody at a store and they say no gratitude, you know, my flesh wants to say, "Come back here, you stinking lazy snothead, and open a stinking door yourself." You know, that's my feeling about it. It's great when they express the gratitude, but the idea is that express this. If you would, here's the amazing thing about God. Look in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. The sin of gratitude is a result of people who don't think. The virtue of gratitude is a result of people who sit down and think. Luke 6, verse 35, it says, the Lord said, "And love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again." Now, I know a Dutchman didn't write that. And it's hard to believe that a Jew said that. Okay, but there's another side of the Lord. "Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." The unthankful would be the righteous, we would say saved people who are unthankful and unappreciative of what God's done for them. The evil would be the lost. But God is kind. Jesus Christ is telling us to be kind to both, even though our flesh doesn't want to. And so the thing is thoughtful people appreciate the cost. Thoughtful Christians sit down and think about Calvary and what Jesus Christ did for us. Thoughtful people who think about that will sit down and think about the Lord. And when you think and dwell on that and meditate on that, the Spirit of God may squeeze your heart and say, "Why don't you do something for him? Why don't you take him into consideration and give it back to him?" Express it verbally to him, and then with your life, give of your time to your Savior. Okay, so this is the thoughtfulness of gratitude. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. I pray you'd help us to sit down, slow down, and think what others have done for each of us personally, individually. But more so, more than anything, help us to express our gratitude to you. And Lord, help us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that we have nothing except as a result of you giving it to us individually. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to have hearts of gratitude and sit down, slow down, and think about what others have done for us. The instruments play, the altar's open. Husbands need to sit down and think about their wives and what they've done. Serving. Wives need to sit down and think about their husbands. Children need to sit down and think about what their parents have done for them. Grandchildren, their grandparents. Your friends, what they have helped you out, sit down and think about that and offer a heart of gratitude. Sit down and think what God has done for each of us. The sin of ingratitude is a heinous sin. It's a selfish sin. It's a thoughtless sin. It's an attitude that the world owes me a living. And it's nothing different than a pig at a trough. That's why in the Bible, demon-possessed people, the second alternative is for the demons to leave the person and go into a hog. It's an amazing thing. Gratitude, gratitude. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. And Lord, you've told us to be thankful. And Lord, the only way for us, each of us, to be thankful is to think. And Lord, when we sit down and think about what you have done for us, then the peace of God just dwells and comes into our spirit, into our hearts. When we slow down and think about thee. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to express our gratitude towards others. In Jesus' name, amen.